Hello, everybody. I want to give you a little heads up on what this podcast is going to be all about. Today, I had the opportunity and the privilege of interviewing Jesse Gonzalez from New Phase Outdoor Living in Chicagoland. And he shares with us his journey, his struggles from going from mowing lawns and kind of following in his father's footsteps up to starting to focus more on outdoor living and making the transition. He happens to be one of our students at Yes Express, and he came to us looking for systems and processes in order to get his business to where it needed to be in order to say yes to bigger projects. And now he's doing that, and he's getting himself out of the field as the owner. He's not out there every day slinging, you know, pavers, mowing lawns and trimming bushes. He's now inside. He's focused more on selling and growth, and he's empowered his team. So listen to the episode. There's lots of great nuggets in there. Hopefully you can use in your business as you move forward and transition out of the field and get into more of that ownership role. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to Outer Spaces, a podcast dedicated to empowering designers and contractors in the outdoor living space. Through this show, I hope to create a powerful resource for you, someone who is trying to grow their company but might not have all the tools and processes to do so. On Outer Spaces, we're passionate about breaking the chains of small mindsets and helping contractors just like you take control of their businesses and their lives. My name is Joshua Gillow, and through my 25 years of dirt under the nails experience, I look forward to sharing tips, strategies, and other contractor success stories here on the Outer Spaces podcast. Now, let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome back to the Outer Spaces podcast sponsored by Yes Express, where we get more yeses from ideal clients with less stress for you than you ever thought possible. So that's what we do. We love to do it. And today on our podcast, we're going to have Jesse Gonzalez. He's out in the Chicagoland area. He's the owner of New Phase Outdoor Living, a father and a husband, and just an overall amazing man. I've had the privilege of knowing him now for a while, and I wanted to bring him on podcast to share his journey in his business. He's been, you know, in lawn care, going into outdoor living, and trials and tribulations and struggles and all that good stuff that comes with that transition. So, Jesse, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joshua, for having me.
Man, we've been talking for a long time now, and it's fun to have you on the podcast and to share the world, you know, with the world, your story. And so why don't we start out in the beginning? Like, how did you get into this outdoor living world? Where'd you come from? All that good stuff. Tell us the background before we get going.
Oh, man. So I've been doing landscape maintenance for the last 13 years. And I always, you know, love seeing the hardscapes, seeing the patios and seeing the cool features. So recently, around like 2018, 19, and I'm joining some groups, and that's where I ended up seeing like Cruz and seeing all his work and seeing, you know, him building amazing outdoor living spaces. And I'm like, I want to get into that. And I wrote down something that I wanted to give him in 2020. The pandemic hit, and I was able to give him, you know, what I wanted to give him, which was basically me offering my services to work for him for free to learn. And then he had this boot camp and, you know, got into it. And I met you prior to that, joining your the Yes Express and learning the designing and sales part of it. So, you know, it took me forever to get all, you know, the puzzles together and put to set a plan. Because there wasn't a lot of stuff out there for me to, you know, to learn. And this is where I'm at now. So
I love it, dude. You've come a long way, brother. Love him. I can't wait to share more about that. So tell me a little bit about growing up, you know, and in the industry, and maybe even go back to, I think you mentioned at one point that your father was part of the landscaping world. How did that start and how was that growing up?
So yeah, my dad came here to the United States when he was 16, with a second grade education. He worked at other jobs as a busboy, working on some farms, and then he moved to Illinois, and that's where he met my mom. My grandpa had a landscape business. My dad worked for him, and that's how my mom and him met. And since then, like, all I knew about was landscaping. I would work within the summers, you know, mowing, Started out with the push mower, then the walk behind. Finally had a zero turn that he got when it first, they first came out. I was super excited, and he would never even let me use it. So just kept using the walk behind or the push mower. But I've been in the industry my whole entire life. To the point that I thought that I didn't want to do that as a career. I tried different things and tried working in an office at Chase, working in a call center, and it wasn't like being inside. I just felt like I needed to be outside. And I worked for other companies, Scott's Lawn Service, doing as a technician, working for a large commercial company out here in Chicagoland area as an operations manager. That's where I learned a lot about the, budgeting, getting hours, managing a crew. And I decided to, do my own thing. And when I started in 2009, right during the whole recession thing. I was a 29-year-old that, didn't watch the news, didn't know what was going on in the world. And I got stuck with maintenance, and I didn't want to do maintenance because I actually got a landscape design certificate. I went to junior college for it to get, and, I wanted to be a designer. But that didn't happen right off the bat. I was just getting, just to make ends meet, working, doing maintenance, cutting lawns, end up doing those foreclosure type thing deals, and just cut any lawn to make some money to pay the bills. And I just got stuck with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what happened when you went to your dad to ask for some help?
Oh yeah. It's been tough because a lot of people, didn't seem to want to help. And now, and my dad was one of those people that, I would ask him to help me on pricing and stuff. And at the time, he still had his own business and he was really busy himself. And it'd be difficult to even try to get him to even help me look at a property, let alone, get, a price suggestion. So I started asking him like questions like, if this was your project, like, what would you charge for this? Or if this was your lawn that you're in, what would you charge? So I ended up getting prices like that, but it took it was a tough time to even just for him to help me out, and that's what it was with everyone. I would ask other people with companies. I'd ask my uncle that had a landscape company. He was the exact same way. It's like no one wanted to help each other out, especially I'd figure we're family, you throw me a bone or something. Yeah. And no.
Yeah, exactly. So that's crazy. That's amazing. And that was the way it was, dude. I know when I've been in this industry 25 years now, and it's in early days, man, you'd walk into a supplier and it would be like you're walking into a saloon out west. Like everyone's watching each other. They're all grabbing for their guns. Like we would never tell people what we're buying or where it's going because they might come in and try to steal our project. Right. And that was just the mindset back then. Thank goodness I didn't have to grow up through too much of that. Literally at the end of it, thank goodness. But that's what it was in the beginning. And, I kept thinking there has to be a better way. There has to be a way that we can help each other. There's plenty of work out there for everybody. Why are we trying to be so coy about helping each other? And, I love that the world's changing now and everyone's sharing a lot more, but hey, you can't blame your dad for being part of the generation that it was, And, it's crazy though. So obviously you've been doing this 13 years now and in the lawn care and making the transition into outdoor living. What kept you in the game so long, man? Cause I know lawn care can be really, really tough and very, very razor thin margins, if any. You're working your ass off. You're always fighting the weather. You're fighting the clients. You're fighting all of that stuff. So what kept you in the game so long?
Getting accounts. I got more into commercial maintenance, and a lot of it was just through referrals. And we had enough work to keep busy. But I wasn't really happy with it. I felt that I knew I could do more. I wasn't satisfied. I knew there was more that I could offer, and offer our customers, but also for myself as a person. I feel like I wasn't giving my full attention to the business and the possibilities of growth personally and professionally.
Yeah. Did you find that you spent most of your time just trying to service those accounts and not much time working on the business, or did you find time to work on the business? Like, how did that look in those years?
I was too busy working in the business, not on my business.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always, you know, felt that I had to be always out there. The customers were always waiting for me to be out there. If I wasn't there, you know, I'd definitely get a phone call. Why is Jesse not here? They would expect a lot from me and give me, you know, getting these weird phone calls in the middle of the night, you know, someone thinking about their lawn at like 12 o'clock in the morning, texting me saying, what time are you guys coming today? Or, you know, I need to get cut biweekly now. It's like, great, you know, or skip it because the grass is dry, or having the painters come. I'm like, so in the morning I would wake up and try to reschedule everything. And it just took a lot of time away from, you know, working on the business, but most importantly, time away from my family, because I would go out and do estimates right after work, or, you know, stay longer on a project if it rained. You know, that slowed us down, kept us behind schedule. So it would eat away from me.
Yeah. Slowly but surely, right? Yes. Especially those midnight texts. Now, Jesse, be honest. Were you ever guilty of responding at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning when they popped up just to get them done? Or are you somebody that's got the patience to wait till morning?
No. I wouldn't be able to sleep if I couldn't text them back. So I would text them back, and a lot of them were surprised.
Oh, you would? Okay.
Yeah, a lot of them would be surprised. Yeah. But the longer I got into the business, the longer, you know, as an experienced business owner, and, you know, just the frustrations, I would, you know, reach my limit and just completely ignore them to the point that I would not even respond to their text messages at all. Not even, you know, the next day. So then it just started, you know, I started getting like resentment and like hatred for my work and to the customers, and I wasn't being I wasn't happy. And then they would also carry over to my family too. My employees didn't seem to really care, or, you know, if I were to, you know, focus on another job or see a customer while they're working, the quality of work wasn't there. It was just a complete mess. It was starting to fall apart really fast.
Okay. And that's no fun to see something you've worked for many years all of a sudden start to fall into disarray. And, you know, you think that you're going to hire people and they're going to just take care of it for you automatically. And you're just going to walk away. It's not the old adage, right? We're going to be just, all right, cool. Just hire people. They'll do it for you. And then you realize, holy shit, like I actually have to train these people. They need a leader. I got to become a leader. Like I'm used to just leading myself and I'm not that good at it. I mean, I'm speaking my own story here, guys out there listening. I'm not making fun of anybody. I had to realize really quick that in order to lead people, I had to, you know, become a leader myself. And that, you know, requires you to be more focused on how you can, you know, systemize yourself or systemize your business in a way that you can hand those step-by-step pieces off to somebody else. So Jesse, take us through your transition there from, you know, I know, we talk, so I know these things, but, you know, from where you really couldn't trust your employees until now, I mean, sounds to me like you've kind of turned a corner and it's the other way around. So how did you make that transition and what struggles did you go through to get your guys out there to be more self-sufficient and autonomous?
Yeah. I realized that in, 2020, you know, my right-hand man that was with me for a long time, he passed away, and I felt like, holy cow, like, what am I going to do now? And just ended up getting some, you know, some other workers and, you know, thinking that, you know, oh, you have experience? Okay, I let them go. And it just ended up being just a big mess. It actually opened my eyes up more. And what I need to do. And if I'm going to have these guys want to, you know, work with me, because I have two young men working with me right now, and they didn't really care coming into work. I had to tell them every little thing, every little detail on the job site. And if I wasn't there, you know, it was just like, you know, chickens with their head cut off. They're just going around in circles doing whatever it is to make them look like they're doing some work. I needed to grow, so I needed to give some, you know, give up some control. And, you know, no one's ever going to do it better than me, you know. And I'm like, these two knuckleheads are going to do better than me. So, but I had to do something that had to change. And I started talking to you more about it, and I ended up giving some more control and giving him more access to like certain things that I would never give, like scheduling or the timesheets that they're able to do, or getting to know other customers. So I let he's my right hand man now, more control, more freedom. Listen to him. I let him, start a project from start to finish, mm-hmm. and just believing in him and taking him to events. Because I always said, if I take him somewhere, I'm going to pay for it, but they're going to get all this knowledge and then they're going to end up leaving me. And I wasted all this money and I'm going to start from square one again. But I think doing that, he started to realize that, I'm starting to believe in him, and he's starting to see that there's more possibilities, of him, running the business as an operations manager, or, even a project, which he's doing right now. They're doing a fantastic job. And, awesome. I haven't been.
Dude, what I love about it, dude, it's 1 p.m. Eastern on a Tuesday right now when we're recording this, and Jesse's in the office talking to me on a podcast instead of out there throwing papers around or mulch or anything. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, the guys are doing a great job. And this is not the Jesse I met a year ago.
Oh no.
That was very different Jesse back then.
No, I would have been like, sorry, dude, like, can we do this like on a Sunday or something? Like, I wouldn't be able to talk to you, and I'd be really stressed out. And they've just been, taking control. Like I haven't gotten a phone call. Like, I got phone calls from them, but there isn't any, like, there are issues. I give them everything that they need. I ask them every day, like, are you guys doing okay? What's going on? And I do stop by the job site here and there. I just take some pictures. And they're doing great. The customer is really happy. She enjoys talking to the guys. And, it's a new thing because, she'd always see me there doing other projects and making sure that I'm on site. But I told her, like, this is a new thing that we're going to be doing. But yeah, just believing in the guys and taking them, to get training. They did an event in Minnesota through a Aquascapes certified contractor. And him and I were exchanging, messages back and forth. And he gave us some dates that would work for the guys to stop by to learn from him hands-on. And they were there a whole week, and I got nothing but praises from the owner. And I was really proud. I felt like a proud dad. They're young men, but they just giving them that, I'm letting them know that I believe in them, and giving them that, I trust their ability to get the work done, but also I get to listen to their ideas. And a lot of them are better than mine. Like, I never knew that I would be able to do this. Like, I would never thought I would give control and accept it. But it's like the best thing that's ever happened to me, man. I wish I would have done this a lot, sooner. Maybe a lot of people would have stuck around. Maybe I wouldn't have these headaches. And I know I probably would be a lot farther than I am right now. And we'll get there. But yeah, it's just something new that... Now, and I know Elliot, that's one of my right hand mans. He's looking forward to someday do some sales. Sounds like, let's go.
Nice. Let's do it, baby.
Let's go.
So, Jesse, I love your story, and that's why I wanted to bring you on a podcast here. So, listeners out there that are struggling with getting themselves out of the front line of the, going out into the field and working and all that stuff, and would rather work on the business than in it, what are some points, some tips you can give them that you found on your journey in order to finally let go of the control side of things? I know that when I first let go of control, it was nerve-wracking as hell. Like, I'm not in the field every day. I'm not there to hold. What if they make a mistake? What if they drive the excavator through the house? I'm like, what if they get the wrong stone? What if they don't listen? What if they don't follow the directions? Like, there was a thousand what ifs that could possibly pop up. And eventually I just had to relinquish control and trust. What are some things that you learned on that journey so you could let go of control and be focused on working on your business and not in it?
It's a lot. You have to believe in your guys. You have to ask them what they need. Be transparent with them. Ask, I and you have to give up control, but you have to ask them, you know, what do they think? What do they need? And then if things are going to happen, and then it's out of your control, something like that happens. If they bring a skitzer right through the house, hey, it's, yeah, shit happens, right? You're going to have to live with it, you know, just make sure that, you know, everyone's okay. Everyone's still there, and, you know, things like that could get repaired, and you hopefully have insurance. Yes. But, you know, that's how they're going to grow. There's going to be mistakes. No one's going to be perfect. You know, I made mistakes, on my own, by myself. And, you know, I'm still here, and we're here in business for 13 years. And it's just, you know, believing in them. As, you know, if you let them, you know, you give them more, I'm not going to say freedom, but, you know, you show them that you believe in them, and, you know, them, having them, you know, have the ideas and come up to you and feel comfortable talking to you about their ideas, you know, be open to it. And that's how you grow as a team. You know, they're like, well, he's listened to me. I'm going to ask him about this because maybe this way is a lot better, and we'll go for it. If it works better than our process, then hey, that's new process that we're going to go through now, you know? And just, yeah, just be open to them. Just, be their guide.
Yeah.
But that's
the
thing.
One of the toughest things as owners.
Yeah. Trust and control. It's a lot of, you know, people like myself had.
Yeah. I know that, you know, trust is an inside game. People want to think that I can't trust that person, but let's be honest, really deep down honest. If you don't trust yourself, you typically have a problem trusting other people. So with that being the case, that those parts of your mind and your mindset kind of come up, and they can stir the pot, if you will. And then we start thinking about all the what ifs that could happen and all that kind of thing. But I know letting go was one of the toughest things that I did during my career, and one of the most powerful things that I've done. Cause it's not just me being able to be the owner and go do what I want to do. That's not business related. It's more about, all right, well, now how can I empower a team? How can we grow a team? You know, and as you're doing right now and sending your guys out for weeks at a time to training and all that stuff. And how are you managing your mindset through this when it comes to worrying about them taking off and going somewhere else or starting their own business when you're investing so much time and effort into their growth? Like, how are you managing your growth mindset in that?
It's a really good question. Letting know that everything's going to be okay. You know, if they end up leaving, you know, and doing their own thing, and I remember you talking, just having this conversation with you, I know someone that could, you know, build ponds, or someone that builds, you know, and work that way, you know, let them grow. If they're going to leave, they're going to leave, but you make sure that, you know, you have a connection with them, you know, and then you let them know it's okay. And maybe, you know, down the line, you could work with each other. You know, they may be your new subcontractor, but you know how they work, and you know how, they like things done, you know, if you decide to transition and just do a bunch of design work, you have a guy that loves doing that work. You throw him work, he's had his own business, and you let them worry about the headaches of the workman's comp and all whatnot. But you still have your right hand man, but a different, you know, setting.
Yep.
And it's okay.
That's a huge piece, dude. Yeah. I mean, I love that you've taken that in, because if we try to bring people into our teams and control them and say, well, you know, oh my God, you can't leave me. If I train you, then you're going to get smarter than me. Then you're going to leave. And that entire mindset will destroy a team, 100% destroy a team. And when you have the mindset that you do now, right, and saying, look, we're in the business of building humans, right? We're building the best humans we possibly can, giving them all the opportunities we possibly can. And you know what? As my leadership ability becomes stronger, these people are amazing at what they do. For instance, Elliot building ponds or doing whatever he's doing, pavers, that kind of stuff. They need a leader, right? So as long as it makes sense, they're going to have you as their leader, right? And that'll work. And eventually, if they said, you know what, I have a family now, I want to start my own business. Next thing you know, he peels off and does Elliot's landscaping. You know, Jesse can go over and say, hey, Elliot, you're doing landscaping. What if I sub all my landscaping out to you? Pretty soon they're still working together just in a different arrangement. I mean, you're building humans. That's what this is about. Mm-hmm. This is not about owning people's souls. That's not it at all, right? Once you flip that script and you start thinking, wait a minute here, this is about helping people. Because if you help people, they're going to come back and help you someday too. It's all about karma at that point. So you just give all you can and that'll always swing back. It's the boomerang effect. It'll all come back at some point. Don't expect it, but just know that that's how the universe works. So I'm really excited for that for you and that you've opened up. And I can feel the release of anxiety in you now, dude, because of that. Tell us about that. How does that feel now when you just kind of accept the fact that the universe will take care of it?
It's night and day. It's one less thing to worry about. Again, I'm just there as support, you know, I'm more transparent. There's no longer, you know, for me to, not saying I was intentionally hiding things from my guys, but it was to the point that I was thinking I was hiding that because they'll take the stuff and run, you know, and do their own thing. Hey, they want to do it, more power to them, you know, I'll be happy.
You can't control it anyway.
I can't control it anyway. Hey, I'll support them, you know. And be able to still support them if they want to start their business, you know, hey, let me know what you need. I'll help you. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, it's just helping each other out. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
I'm not here to control anybody. No one's here to control anybody. You work for them. You know, like, I know I didn't like it. And I know how it felt. That's why I ended up leaving and started my own business. Yeah. And I was doing the same thing. And then, you know, it took a long time to realize what I was doing. And now I know, you know, I'm giving up, you know, not control, full control, but I'm giving them, you know, I'm letting know that I believe in them. You know, mistakes are going to happen. And that's one thing you have to learn. You got to learn that things are going to happen, you know.
Yep.
You can't control everything. Once you have that, then you're golden, you know.
Absolutely. No, it's the old story that, and I like to say that, you know, my first part of my career, it was all about trying to avoid getting wet in the rain, right? Always running around with your umbrella, trying to stay dry, like under roofs, like you're constantly trying to dodge the weather being life, right? And mistakes and problems and failures and all that. So you try to dodge it the whole time and stay dry. And I tell you that the second that my life changed was when I threw the umbrella away and I just went out in the rain and looked up into the heavens and said, give me all you got. I'm here. I can handle this. You can't knock me down, right? And to learn how to dance in that rain, man, what a freeing experience to just stand back and say, wow, I've got more than I need already inside me. I don't mind to have all the answers, but I know people who can help me. I can read books or go to seminars and build myself. That's what it's all about, right? It's about building and discovering what's already inside of you, which is a really cool part about it. And I love that you're on that journey, brother. Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
That's really cool. So dude, I want to switch gears here a little bit. I remember back when you first reached out to me when you were looking to jump into Yes Express and you came in and you purchased a program and then I didn't hear from you for a long time. Yeah. And I'm like, and it happens. Some guys will do that and girls will do that. And then when the time is right, they'll call and say, hey, can I get on that program? And we figure something out. But I remember you coming back in, it was almost a year later. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, is this thing still valid? I'm like, well, you paid good money. I certainly hope so, right? So you jump back in and it was fun to have you in class. And what I loved about your approach is that you were there every single week and you turn in your homework and you did it. You did the reps, just like going to the gym. You did the reps and you learned. And I'd love to walk through your journey with that and how, you know, working with a group, you know, more of a tribe has affected your business and your growth and your personal life and all that kind of thing. And where you see it going from here.
So talking about, you know, taking me a long time to rejoin, I always try to find everything needs to be perfect, right? And, this needs to happen. This needs to happen. I don't have time for this because work's going to start, you know, beginning of the season. And then I have to get this, all this stuff. And towards the end of the fall, I was like, I already like hit like a wall and I'm like, I can't keep doing this. I'm like, you know what? I still have the sales training and design training. I'm just going to, I tried to log on and I said I needed some access. So I ended up in touching base with you. I'm like, hey, dude, like.
Couldn't sneak in.
I couldn't sneak in. You know, and you got me back in. And I think it was like a week later, a new class cycle was happening. And I was scared shitless, man, because, you know, it was Zoom. I didn't know I had to do some role playing. It was nerve wracking. And that's one thing that I needed to fix about myself is being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time for being uncomfortable. I've always had a problem, you know, what do people think about me? You know, do I talk funny? Do I look, you know, a certain way that, you know, people might, you know, make fun of or whatnot. So I've always was concerned about other people's opinions of me. And this basically like broke it because everyone was in the same boat as me. People were struggling doing the role playing. So it got a little comfortable and getting to know everyone. So everyone was really nice. No one's making fun of one another, which made it comfortable setting. I felt that I was able to get any questions I had answered. Even with the design and the sales and, just go out there doing it, and getting those reps and then, you know, doing the video of ourselves, during, you know, certain parts of the program. And then just having this constant role playing and having a connection with people, and be able to answer some of the questions that we have, we were struggling, with objections or, you know, making a transition. It was, that basically helped me grow, as a business owner, as a salesperson. And I'm still learning. It's never going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And I'm still learning. I'm still doing it. I'm still practicing. You know, so there isn't any more excuses for me now because I'm not on the field. So, you know, I got to find more work for the guy. So, but yeah, just being uncomfortable and just not worrying about what other people think of me. And then, you know, talking to you on a weekly basis has been really, really helpful for me and my growth, personally, which will translate to, you know, to my business. And I've transitioned it to Elliot. And he's starting to see a new Jesse. And, you know, like I said, like there's last year I was like, I don't know if this guy could even work here. And now just a little, you know, a little pep in his step, you know, there's things that I don't have to tell him anymore that he just goes straight and does it and letting the other guy know. And, it's amazing to see. So, it's a learning process still, and I'm getting better at it. And, I'm never going to be 100%, but it's knowing the ability that I'm able to, you know what I'm doing, realize it's happening, and then not focus on it and move on.
Mm, yeah. Just got to keep moving, dude, right? One foot in front of the other. That's... gets you to the top of mountains, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yep. Two steps at a time, you'll get there. That's incredible, dude. And your transformation has been, you know, I've been such a privilege to be part of it and to watch you grow and to see you handing off control, because I struggle with that too. The fear of what people thought, you know, what are they going to say about me and all that. I'm a recovering people pleaser. So, you know, it's been a similar transformation for me as well. And as soon as I started to give up that control and give up giving a shit about what other people thought, next thing you know, life started to be fun again, right? And you didn't have all this anxiety about what people are thinking and, oh my God, what is what I look like there? And if I'm not in the project, Mrs. Jones, what's she going to say if I'm not available every single second to pick up the phone? And when you start creating boundaries and understanding that you get in life what you tolerate and you start, you know, stop tolerating certain things and like, you want to get a hold of me? It's an email or a phone call, whatever you prefer, but it's not going to be a text. It's not going to be a Facebook message. It's not going to be something obscure because that's convenient for you. This is what we do. And if you want me, this is how you'll do it. And it's amazing how people line up and do that. And they won't send a bunch of crap over to you if it's a little bit more difficult for them to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they just hold their breath for a little while and they see that what they're worried about disappears. Maybe it's, you know, the paver angle isn't the same. Once they see it all laid out, it makes perfect sense. And then they're like, okay, cool. And that's a whole phone call you didn't have to have. But, you know, the reality is that we can't control what people think. We can only control how we react to it. We react to it. We can't control what they do. So we have to know that each day working on ourselves and growing and understanding systems and processes and building them all the time keeps building that momentum forward to conquer the mountain of life. Right. So it's just constantly moving in that direction. But dude, you've come a long way and I'm so excited to have you here in a podcast to share your story. And so what's next for Jesse Gonzalez?
Oh man, a lot of things I want to do still. I still want to. I want to grow the business. I want to be able to start a portfolio like Master Plan, like Cruz, like Dwayne, like all you guys. Like, I want to be known as one of the top companies here in Chicagoland area. Sorry, Cruz. I have a long way to go, but yeah. I want us to keep growing. I love the business. I love the outdoor living spaces. Mm-hmm. I love creating, and just building a team from that, and having, giving Elliot some more work and help, and building, a better process, a system, cause there's never really been a system with me in my business. And just, I told him over the winter time, let's really sit down and create a system that's going to benefit, the business. And, mm-hmm. I told him that I'm going to get him onto the Yes Express, sales and design mm-hmm. thing. Cause that's what he wants to do too. So I want to let him know that there's a possibility for him doing that. And if he wants to do that, let's go, so just keep growing. Keep growing, myself, keep growing the other employees, and I think the sky's the limit from there,
I love it. I love it. And how, as a leader, and you're already finding this out, and I found this out along the way as well, and most leaders do, is as their responsibilities, their roles change in the business, right? They go from being the lead field person teaching everybody underneath them to, like you're doing now, making a transition out of the field into the office, starting to work on the business daily. I see you advertising a lot more now, focusing mm-hmm. on, investing your time and growth, because now what you have to do, your responsibility shifts from how can we both be most efficient on site, which is still super important. Let me just sidebar that. Mm-hmm. Super important. But now as the leader, you're thinking, okay, how do I pave more highway for my guys to constantly do projects that they love profitably, mm-hmm. right? So now you have to keep adjusting, and you have to keep developing you personally so that you can serve the business at the higher level, i.e. serve your team, because you can't be out there slinging bricks and trying to set the pace. You've got to be able to do that from a distance through systems and processes, which you guys will start working on this winter. So tell me a little bit about how that role has changed for you now. Obviously, you're in the office and what you're doing, and how you see what you're going to need in order to take those next steps and grow as a human in order to be able to lead this team further.
I just keep doing what I'm doing and keep the training and finding new ways to improve. Like Synced Up is a big thing mm-hmm. that we signed up for, and there's no longer guessing on numbers, it's been a godsend to us. Mm-hmm. And having not just like myself learning how to use the software, but the other guys as well, especially with the app, that able to make sure that they plug in the hours that they're working on a certain job site, to make sure at the mm-hmm. end of the day we're all profitable, we're all making money.
Yep.
And making sure that seeing that and having them see that we're making money, and yep. Don't be afraid to even show your employees how much things cost, because you got to be transparent with them. And I know a lot of them are going to say, well, he's making all this money, why isn't he paying me more?
Yeah.
And yep. that's when you get to the point, being transparent with them and seeing, letting them know where the job costs are, and the profitability, the more profit they get, yeah, at the end of the year they're gonna get more money, and everyone's working at a goal. If everyone has a goal of making more money, and having a goal, a sales goal, and then at the end of the year knowing that you guys met it, that they're gonna, it's an accomplishment, but also a reward for all their hard yeah. work, and the more work, the more money. I see it, mm-hmm. And it's something that I've always tried to like hide, because, they're gonna say I'm making all this money, but a lot of them don't know how much you make. You just let them know, hey, this is our money, not my money, it's our money. And for us to be profitable, we have to be within this budget, and if it goes over, it goes over, but we learn from that, and then we grow, and then we know on the next project. But with the synced up, it's just a thing that there's no longer a guessing game. You know, just plug in your numbers, you plug in your budget hours, and hopefully you're right with those budget hours, but everything else should be locked in and set.
I love it. It's huge, dude. And you're absolutely right. The transparency is huge. I had the same fear for most of my career. It wasn't probably till about 8 years ago I started to share numbers like that with projects. But you're right. You know, if someone gets a whiff of the $25,000 project, they see the invoice and they're like, whoa, Jesse's making $25,000 right now, and I'm only going to get a paycheck for $1,500.
I wish.
This isn't fair. This is unbelievable. Like, he's going to go home with all of this money, like 20 some thousand dollars, and I only get 1,500 of it. Why is he better than me? Like, all of this happens. This is human nature, right? There's nothing strange about it. This is human nature. But when they get to see that there's, you know, $18,000 in cost of materials and overhead and all that to be recovered, and then the business has to make money, because if it's not making money, then there's no way that they can possibly keep growing. And if they're not growing, they can't be acquiring new projects, which they build and get paid an hourly wage, you know. So when they start to understand, because most people understand business, so when they understand those ins and outs, at least enough to be dangerous a little bit, next thing you know, they're like, wow, okay, that makes perfect sense. Like, of course, Jesse's risking everything here, so of course he gets paid a little bit more. That's just what it is. And everyone else gets their fair share in the middle, and off we go to the races, and we keep doing fun stuff, right? But to keep that all hidden, it just looks like Jesse gets 25 grand and I get 1,500, and that's not fair. And now all of a sudden there's some kind of a, you know, animosity between you two deep down that he'll never say until, you know, you actually open up and say, guys, look, here's where we are. You know, that's the beautiful part about the synced up system, where they can see all of those things if you choose to, of course. And then they can come in and say, okay, just like a game, if you're going to play football, you want to know, you know, all the different rules and what you can and can't do, and all the tricks and anything you can do to make this be a faster game, more efficient, so you can get a higher score, right? I.e. a better profit. So if you're not sharing those play-by-play options and things you're learning as the leader with your team, how do you expect your team to know what to do, where to turn, when to duck, when to, you know, when to whatever? Like, how do they know how to play the game if they don't have all the pieces for it? So by opening things up like that, you're going to find a much more open dialogue. Now, if you have a large company, we're not talking about every single person involved, but you want to make sure at least your managers or your main people are involved. They understand what's happening, the ins and outs of things, so that they can make great decisions, because they understand what it costs to run a project like this. What happens when they go over their time? How much it eats into the profit? How much next time Jesse has to make sure he adds an extra 20 hours into that project, because last time there's no way in hell we could have done it for that. Or next time maybe you're 20 hours under and you're like, holy crap, we made great money in that project. How can we get more clients like that? Or how do we bring that back a little bit so that we're in our lines, like, so everything's good? You know, the goal of any business is to make as much money as possible. But you have to add the value. It's not about taking, it's about giving. So if the more value you give, the more you can ask and demand of your pricing. So just keep that in mind as you're about there bidding. But I love that you're seeing that that option to open up to your employees, because they're really going to benefit, and so will you long term, especially if you give them the autonomy to make decisions in the field and want to be inside, you know, working on building the business.
Yeah, I see myself as just as we're a team. We're one big team. Yeah. And as a team, we have to, you know, set a goal for ourselves and achieve it. You know, it's no longer just me, you know, being a dictator. You do that, you do this, you do that. Don't do it this way, do it this way. No. That's a mistake that I've been doing for years, and it doesn't even work.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how winter might be different for you this year.
So it's a new thing. I've been working winter for, I don't know how many years, longer than my business. I'm taking off. I'm not going to be on, we're still working as a company, but I'm not going to be working in it. Elliot.
And when you say in it, like, what, when you say winter work, like, what were you doing mostly that you won't be doing now?
So we do snow plowing. It was mainly a lot of commercial accounts. Even just salting, you know, sometimes, you know, there would be a little dusting or something. We have zero tolerance sites, and we would go out there and middle of the night, get the skidster ready, warmed up, get the scoop of salt and put it in, you know, in the truck and in the bed and go, you know, do that for some time. And it's just, time consuming. And I would do that because I was like, I don't want to wake up the guys. I'll just do it myself, you know, or I didn't want to spend the extra money to do that. And I said, you know, fuck it. I'm not going to do that anymore. And Elliot's been wanting to, he's been actually like a lead sidewalk crew guy. And now that I let him know that, and he was practicing here and there last year with a snow plow, and I have full confidence this year that he'll be that he's able to take control and do the plowing for me and doing the salting or manage the other guys, that I don't have to wake up in the middle of the night and make all these phone calls.
Yeah.
Guys not wanting to show up or not picking up their phone. And but I, you know, I'll be there for him. You know, I know it's going to be a learning curve, and I'll be there. But I just want to, you know, give more responsibility to him that he wants. I asked him and he wants it. So yeah, now he gets to know how I feel
or felt. Yeah, exactly. No, I love it, dude. That's, leadership at 101 is to take that. Cause dude, I'm telling you right now from experience over and over and over, and I've got scars to prove it. The first few weeks are always bumpy, and that's where you're being tested. God's testing you at that point. And he's saying, okay, well, do you have the nerve to handle this? Are you mentally capable of handling something very different? Cause it's easier when you're controlling that truck and you're driving it and you're filling those salters and you're spreading and you're doing it, cause you can control yourself a little bit more, but having to trust others and then control from a distance, not the control side where you're on every little detail, but having to manage is a better word. You know, over top of that, it's a different skill set, isn't it? So that's going to be something you're going to have to develop as you move forward. But it's the biggest thing is you have your team involved, and it didn't sound like you had to bribe them to do it. It sounds like they took over pretty much by themselves. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah. I just asked him and he's like, hell yeah, I want to do that. He already knew, like, it felt like he already knew the question. And he was running like, yeah. Like, I didn't have to say anything else.
I love it. So good. So Jesse, I really appreciate our conversation as always, and hope the listeners learned something today about transitioning out of the owner in the field into the owner that's working on their business, you know, at a distance, and making that transition is huge. And Jesse's doing that beautifully right now. I'm so proud of what he's doing. And so Jesse, if somebody wants to reach out to you to ask you questions about how you're making the transition from the lawn care and snow into, well, not doing that personally anymore, and then also design build where you have teams that are you're building that are doing that for you, how can they reach out to you?
Oh, they could find me on my Facebook, even though I know there's a billion Jesse Gonzalez's. I'm the most handsome one out there, by the way. No, I'm just joking. No. I'm on some of the Facebook groups and stuff. I don't know exact, you know, profile number or anything like that, but
what about an email address?
Yeah, you could reach me at jesseg@newphasedesign.com.
Cool. That sounds awesome. So yeah, anybody out there listening that's curious about how he's making that transition after being in 13 years in the business, reach out to him, and I'm sure he'd be more than happy to talk to you about what he's learned and help you grow as well, because that's what it's about. It's constantly helping each other light somebody else's fire, and then they can light somebody else's fire, and the entire industry grows that way and becomes a much more beautiful place to be and to grow and to, you know, to do all this. We don't do all this just for money. We do it for the ability to provide a better lives for our families. Mm-hmm. And to know that we left a lasting impact on this world and that we actually matter, right? So we get to do it in the most amazing way with nature and creating spaces that people can enjoy and families can enjoy for generations to come. And you know, every day it's a blessing and a privilege to be part of this. So Jesse, do you have anything else that you want to bestow on our listeners before we wrap up here?
No, the big thing is, you know, you could, you know, reach out to me or anybody else. Like, I know everyone's willing to help now, you know, and I never had that. And for me to help someone, especially if they're starting out or have any issues, you know, I'll be glad to share some of my experiences with you and, you know, create a friendship and some networking and, you know, and help each other out.
I love it, brother. As always, thank you for your time, and thank you listeners for listening in here on Jesse's his journey. And you know, from now on, we're going to be bringing on even more people like Jesse that have, you know, real life stories in the trenches out there in the world of outdoor living, that they either made the transition from lawn care into outdoor living, or they're in outdoor living, whatever it might be. But they're going to be coming on the show in order to share their struggles and what they've learned so far throughout. So hopefully you can fast track your business to go faster. We're going to talk about sales. We're going to talk about design. We're going to talk about mindset. We're going to talk about all of those things in order to make sure that you're well-rounded enough to go out there and absolutely give your clients the very best solution that you can possibly do it and make the most money possible. Because the more money you make, the more impact you can have in this world. So thanks again for listening. Jesse, appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week. Peace out.